for this morning. Turn back to Psalm 65. Psalm 65:2 is tonight's verse. For those here this morning, we looked at Psalm 65, and it's a prayer where we praise God for His presence and the wonder that is that we can approach Him for His protection, His power over all things, and for His provision, bringing us, for example, food and drink and those things that we need. Today, this evening, we take a couple of moments to look more closely at Psalm 65, chapter 2, and this entire service has been directed toward this very message of this verse. Psalm 65, 2. O you who hear prayer, to you shall all flesh come. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we can acknowledge the truth of this prayer and even put it into practice. And so guide us now as we think about a little bit about what it means that we can come to you in prayer and that you hear us. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. I was first introduced in a more formal way, besides my own Bible reading, to this verse from Bill Richardson, a counseling professor at RTS Jackson. I suppose he might still be on the staff. I believe he is. And he shared it with us one day in class. I can still remember him writing it on the dry erase board and remembering that it just stuck with me. That our forefathers in the faith, as they have written about it, have acknowledged this is one of God's names. O you who hear prayer. In fact, hearing our prayers is it's God's very name. It's God's very nature that He hears our prayers. It's His glory. He has heard all the prayers you've ever prayed. He even now hears our prayers. And He will always hear our prayers, those prayers of His children. And even those prayers of those whom He is bringing to Himself and putting it in within them to pray. He doesn't change. This is a great title, You Who Hear Prayer. Now David, who wrote this, he had a very personal relationship with God, invites us to have it. You who hears prayer, speaking very intimately and affectionately to the Lord. As He hears our prayer, He answers everyone who comes to Him sincerely, seeking His face. When it says, to you all flesh shall come, or shall all flesh come, I believe in this case, in calling this all flesh shall come, He is reminding us that frail and sinful people need prayer. We need the Lord. We need to come to Him. And He is a God who, filled with compassion, He condescends. He listens to our cries as we bring them before Him. Any who come, even amongst our number tonight, humbly, with faith, we're filled with good, and we're drawn more and more to Him. In fact, coming to God in prayer and faith is one of the characteristics of our faith, of our relationship with Him, of His work in our lives. O you who hear prayer, to you shall all flesh come. But King James put it, O thou that hearest prayer, one of God's titles, just as well as we call Him the merciful God, the just God, the holy God. So He is our God who hears prayer. I want to walk through sort of the way this works out in some way, and then I want to give just some applications. When we think about all flesh coming to Him in prayer, I think I've made it clear for us tonight as believers, He's always there. Christ is always there to hear our prayers. He intercedes for us, but As we pray and as we often pray for others to come to know him, I'm going to mark these. I want to go through. This is applied in the New Testament. Romans 10:13. I have these marked. I find it in my little. Romans 10:13. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. There is that coming. There is that part of all flesh coming. Those whom he draws. We're going to see this in a moment with Christ's words. All who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, for many, this is that first moment of sincere prayer as God puts it upon their hearts to do so. How can he do this? How can he hear our prayer? We alluded to this morning, not from this passage, but the same idea. How can he do so? We've all sinned and fallen short of his glory. How can he hear our prayer? Well, because we're justified by his grace, as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness. In his divine forbearance, he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, that he might be the just and justifier, just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Because of what Christ has done, we can call upon his name and be saved. Who will do this? Who will call upon his name? Christ tells us, John 6:44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. All those whom God will draw near will come to him in prayer. That's why we keep praying for those whom we know need to come. We pray, and God has appointed time. He will draw them near. And the writer to the Hebrews sort of brings it home for us in two passages. I'm going to read one that comes later and then one that comes earlier. Let's see. Hebrews 5, 7 to 10. Talking about Jesus here. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. In this one, we have both an example, but also an example of that we ought to cry out, but also an example that we can never emulate because he died for our sins. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. A remarkable statement. Our perfect Lord learned obedience through what he suffered. Being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. That first moment of obedience is to call on him and be saved. For he was designated by God a priest, a high priest, after the order of Melchizedek. The writer of the Hebrews also tells us in 4:14-16, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let me stop there. If you think about these two passages I've just read from Hebrews, Christ learned obedience and suffering. There's nothing we can go through, no circumstance that we can't remember. He understands. We think we're tempted by the devil. The devil brought his full fury upon our Savior. We see it in the desert. We see it in the garden. But to think, you don't think all those demons weren't that he dealt with all that demonic activity in his day. His own disciples lacking faith. He understands. And it says, actually, very pointedly, he's been tempted as we are. Just so happens in his case, he didn't sin. And so, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace. We can do that without shame, without embarrassment. We can go to Him. He's the one who hears prayer. Take whatever it is to Him. And by God's grace, we can even share these prayer requests with one another. Go near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He's the one who hears our prayers. A few points of a foundation for this, for our taking part in this in prayer, and also an application. He's the one who hears prayer. To Him all flesh will come. First, all those who have been born again, in whom the Spirit dwells, we can't help but pray. It's natural for us to pray now, and so do so. Thomas Boston says it's just as natural for us to pray as it is for children to cry when they're born, once we're born again. And so remember, this is an instinct you ought to have, to call out to Him at all times. Second, remember that Christ intercedes for us at the Father's right hand. And what He does is He takes our prayers and presents them to the Father. And we're already told He knows what we need before we ask. So as we pray, He takes our prayers and, I bet He puts them in His own words. Just the words the Father wants to hear. We can take all of our prayers, our supplications to Him. Third, Matthew 7:7, a verse that reminds us of, ask and it will be given you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. Be persistent in going to the one who hears prayer. Fourth, in the scripture, God encourages us. To bring our cases to Him in prayer. He invites us over and over to His throne of grace to come. The psalmist even teaches how to bring our arguments. Oh Lord, I want you to answer me, because your name will be lifted up if you do so. Fifth, it's God's grace. It's His nature to answer us. He loves us. He is in relationship with us. He is gracious, and He will withhold no good from us because He knows our needs. He knows them better than us. He compares Himself both to the Father that loves His children, to the mother who loves her children, even to a bird who reaches out and brings her young close to her under her wing. Six, the experiences of the saints throughout history have given us reason to pray, as we've seen their answered prayer. I can't help but think of George Mueller, who fed and clothed and schooled and developed spiritually thousands of orphans. And he took care of them all through prayer. He didn't ask for one cent. He just prayed, and God brought everything he needed. There are many more. Finally, when we pray, He might not answer us right away. But by His grace, He'll give us relief. He'll allow us to be content as we wait, even as we struggle to how to pray for people with cancer, for young people who we so want to know the Lord and to grow in the Lord. We don't always know how to pray. But we come to Him in faith. We bring our requests to Him. And He does offer us that peace that transcends all understanding to guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. And so we pray. I share with what one writer wrote. I don't know if this is Charles Spurgeon or someone else, but I close with this. True religion. In prayer, we come weeping in conversion. We come hoping in supplication. We come rejoicing in praise, and we come delighting in service. And so we go. Tonight, we go to the one in prayer. And then as we leave here, he takes us out to serve him according to his will. Let's go to him in prayer. Thank you that one of your names, O Lord, is O thou that hearest prayer. Help us to come to you shamelessly, constantly knocking that the door might be answered, seeking that we might find, knowing that you are a faithful, compassionate God who hears our prayers. And we pray these prayers even this night in the name of Jesus. Amen.